that we will win. Okay, shall we do it together? Shall we have another speech? I think by now we should know it by heart. Is that good?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
We should. All right. Okay, we'll say it like you mean it and mean it like you say it. 1, 2, 3.
We will win. We will be made what the word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We walk
and agree with what God says.
Amen. 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 Amos 3:3. Amen. Good. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We are winners.
Amen.
And we will keep winning.
Amen.
And we'll just keep winning.
Amen.
We'll just keep winning.
Amen.
Amen. You know, in the last few weeks, we've been hearing a theme. We've been stressing about the times that we're living in, understanding the times, looking at what's happening around about us, looking at what's happening into society, to schools, to the political world, laws and policies that are being enforced in our land, and all of what God is doing just overall around the world. And we looked at from Scripture how God tells us to, Jesus says, you know how to look at the times. You know how to look at the weather and tell what's going to happen, but how much more understand the signs of the times? Amen? And so you've been hearing a lot about this. We've been hearing a lot about a foundation. We need to have a lasting foundation, build on the foundation, having a strong foundation, who is our foundation, and so on and so forth. I want to talk to you this morning about taking heed. Take heed how you build. And I think a lot of what we've been saying so far is the time element is very important. And we've been doing the book of Daniel, okay, and we've been studying the book of Daniel, understanding that we are living in the last days. Amen. It began when Jesus first came and ends when Jesus returns. We are living in the last lapse of time before He returns. And again, we've referenced the scripture found in Matthew chapter 7 and also found in Luke chapter 6, whereby we say that a wise man is he who hears the word of God and builds on the rocks, and when the wind, the rain, and the flood comes, it will not fall because it was founded on the rock. And then we go on and read about how the foolish man hears the word of God and does not build, and when the wind, the flood, and the rain comes, and great was its fall because its foundation, because it was built on sand, sinking sand. I want to bring an emphasis here this morning on the verses that goes right before that. Okay, because I think it leads us to a time element that we need to be aware of. Amen? And this time element, shall we read it first? Let's read Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. And this is what it says: why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do the things and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation of the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Okay, so this, the part I want to stress is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And then it flows on into this building on the rock. In Matthew chapter 7, it expands it a little bit more here. In chapter 7, verse 21 to 28, it says this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, everybody say, in that day.
In that day.
Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, and I will liken him as to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. Great was its fall. Okay, so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings and the people were astonished at his teaching, For he taught them as having one, or having as one, having authority, and not as the scribes. Now, the thing I want to stress this morning is the time element. If you go back, and the time element is, there's a key word there, it says, and on that day, what is that great day? The day of the Lord, the day of his return. During that time when Jesus returned, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? But Jesus will say, you workers of iniquity, depart from me, for I did not know you. So what I'm trying to say here this morning is what we are building is actually is for the purpose to make sure that it is founded or it is strong until that day. That means we're not building temporarily, we're building for eternity.
Yeah.
Alright, everybody say we're not building temporarily. But we're building for eternity. When he returns, alright, he's gonna found us faithful. Amen. We're gonna be founded on the rock. So how are we building? What are we building? Is it gonna be like Adrian shared a few weeks ago? Is it a lasting? Is our foundation going to last? So if we consciously have in our mind that we are building for eternity, it does change perspective. We're not just building for a period of time, a season of time. We're building that which is eternal. So these verses of what we just read take us right to at least to the second coming of Christ. And we want to be ready for that great day. I want to read another scripture and then give 4 points. These are the 4 points I will be focusing on. I'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's read from verse 1 to 17. We read part of it, actually, just then. And this is what it says, "I, brethren," Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, he says, "I, brethren, do not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." Everybody say, "You are God's building."
You are God's building.
Okay, maybe turn to your neighbor and say, "You are God's building."
You are God's building.
Alright, good. Okay, the next verse, verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's works will become clear. For the day." Everybody say, "For the day."
For the day.
Okay, that's the word that we read earlier, that remember that? The day. "The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's word of what sort it is. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. If anyone works which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone works is burnt, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone that defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him." The 4 points I want to mention this morning is found in this second slide. It's number one, we need to take heed what we build. Okay, we use "you" here, but we could use interchange with "we." Take heed what you build. Take heed where you build. Missing a word there. Take heed how you build. And take heed when you build. So we've got what, where, how, and when. Take heed what you build. Take heed where you build. Take heed how you build. And take heed when you build. These are the 4 points we want to talk to, we want to talk, mention this morning. So the first one is, take heed what you build, or take heed what we build. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, it says this: Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. What are we building? This is the first question that we need to ask ourselves. What are we building? Are we building something that's long-lasting? Are we building on the eternal or on the temporal? Because the scriptures make it clear the temporal, it will fade away. It will disappear. It will be stolen. It will be taken away. It will not go with us. We will not have it. But the things that are spiritual, the things that are in heaven, the things that are of God, these things are eternal. And this is a real issue of the heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be there also. So the other question is, where is our heart this morning concerning the things of God, concerning the things of what pertains to God? What are we building? You know, when we know what we're building, okay, first to know what we're building, we've got to see its purpose. Is that right? Like, we've got to see the purpose of what we're building. There was an article I read not long ago. It was something like this, and I don't know, I'll use that for this article as an illustration. But they were saying why in England people complain about the temperature, where their summer is nowhere as hot as Australia, but they are complaining as if it's worse than Australia. And we have the heat waves, okay? Our heat waves will be different to what they call heat waves. Right, because of the different temperatures that are in the land. Yet, why do they complain more, and why do we seem to... Well, we're surviving, all right, because we're not here. But why is it that we make less of a noise, and they're making more of a noise? And the news went like this, and they said, because the material in which they build the house here in Australia is used to withstand that kind of heat. Okay, whereas in England or in Europe or where all those colder places, it's probably built to cater for those cold days, but not for the heat. And so even though it's not as hot as Australia, but a little hot enough, that because the house is made and the things that, and how it's been designed, it contains the heat and thus makes it feel much hotter and much harder to bear. Are you following so far?
Yes.
And so, what are we building? What we will be building with? You know, we've got to know the purpose. Is that right? Mm. Okay. So if you want to, you know, even when I remember when I was purchasing the curtains for my house, they would say, oh, you know, nothing against the Chinese, don't get the Chinese ones because they were not designed to withstand the Australian heat. Buy the Australian quality one because they will withstand the summer heat. That's all. I never thought much of it until recently. You know, yeah, I heard that before. It must be a reason. You know, I mean, when you're trying to build a house, you're trying to see you can get the best bargain you can. You go for it, right? You think Australian made probably cost much more. But at the end of the day, we've got to know what we're building it for. And if you know this, you got to withstand the heat. Then we've got to make the right decisions and even bear the cost. So what are we building? We've got to know what we're building, all right? We've got to understand the purpose, and pastors mentioned it very briefly, and I think it's a message in itself, to knowing really that purpose which is found in Genesis and conclusion found in Revelation 21 and 22. God wants a family. God wants us to be with Him. God wants to bring us so that we can rule with Him and rule and dwell with Him forever and exercise dominion with Him. And God has a real purpose, but we've got to see that hope and that purpose that God has for us. Amen. So if we can't see that though, we don't see the need to build that way. If we don't think the heat in Australia is hot, we think it's nothing, then you probably won't feel the need that you need to invest more on better quality to withstand the heat. So we go for something else. And then, if obviously it's wrong, then we bear the consequences. We bear the heat. Alright? But very important, take heed what you do. Luke 14:28-30 says this: "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he is enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish? All who see him begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" You know, God calls us for a great purpose. And let me ask you something you can think about is, I mean, I'm very glad to be part of this house. I'm very glad to be part of this family. I believe God calls me to be here because I see the vision that God has placed in this house.
Amen.
Yeah. And you see, if we, and I hope that this, what is in my heart is also in your heart. First of all, let's take one step back. Are you happy? I mean, are you glad to be in the house of God here in Evangel? Number one.
Yes.
I'm sure. Just like me, you enjoy the fruit of the hospitality. Do you?
Yes.
I do. Not only is great, I don't cook, so I kind of feel guilty because I'm not really contributing in that area. But I love the food. All right? Great. I have great friends here. Have everybody got good friends here?
Yeah.
We love to meet people that are here, right?
Mm-hmm.
A great friendship. We love each other. We pray for each other. We care for one another. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you have this in your heart. But more than just that, on top of that, you know, beyond that, I see this church, and this church knows the purpose of God. And knowing that purpose of God, we build a certain way.
Amen.
And I hope that you will see just like me that this is a church whereby we not only enjoy the food, we not only enjoy the company, we don't not just enjoy the friendship and the food and everything and all of that, but we see that in this house is a place where we can encounter God.
Mm.
It's a place where we can have His presence. And it's a place where there will be a continual supply of the Word and of the Spirit. And I hope that you also see that these are the essentials that this church will never compromise for the sake of advancing or for the sake of getting an achievement or anything like that. Because this is what's, you know, if this is like, you know, you look in the Bible how churches were founded and on the Word and on the Spirit, like the church in Ephesus, you know, and that's how it started and that's how it's going to continue. All right, and so I believe that this church will not compromise on the Word of God just to get an end to, or just to get something out, or just to get maybe a bigger attendance, or bigger this, or bigger that. I mean, we could do so many things, and think about it, right? In this generation, we could.
Yeah.
But we choose to do things in a certain way, and I hope you see that,
yeah.
Because we see that people must come because of the Word,
yeah.
And of the Spirit, because of His presence, because of the power of God, and nothing else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
We see that we build differently.
Yeah.
We value things differently. We set our priorities differently because we see the purpose. We see what works.
Yeah.
The Word of God works.
Yeah.
And we cannot water it down. And we have great. There are many other methods that things can be done. And God bless, you know, other churches that are doing a great work. But we've got to know. For our church, what are we called for? And then when we start to see that, when that begins to resonate in our hearts, you know, hopefully you're here for the very same reason. And so you come here and you see that and you say, this is how we are building. What are we building? You got to see that.
Yeah.
So just hopefully, just like I see it, I hope that you see it the same way. Right? Hopefully that you are here this morning because you see, this place, I'm going to encounter God, this place. Amy was saying, we're expecting something. Sometimes maybe we're not. Something we've got to deal with our hearts. But it's the Word of God, and it's the Spirit of God, the power of God, the reality, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and all of that. Amen.
Amen.
What are we building? I'm itchy, but you know, God is coming back for a glorious, united, a perfect, blameless, a spotless church. Amen? And we want to be ready for that day. Remember that day? Everybody say, that day.
That day.
That day.
That day.
That day.
That day.
Amen. Amen. So take heed what we build. Take heed, number two, where we build. And I'm just going to quote a couple of scriptures for this one. We're ready in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's taking where we build. Where were we building? So what are we building? Can we see? Can we see the purpose? Alright, once we see, we know what we're building, we will look at where we want to build. Where do we build? If we want to build a holiday resort, hotels or something like that, you're not going to build it in a cave where no one can find it. You probably look for a beach, look for a place where, you know, there's a lot of convenient things for people, you know, if that's what we're building. Is that right?
Yep.
So you would know what you want, then you know where you want it. You got to decide where you want it. Right? And so if we see, we see what God has for us in this church, in Evangel, then we see, where are we building? Nothing except Christ himself, the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Jesus himself is our foundation. That revelation that you and I received, that is the foundation of Jesus Christ. He's the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the Word. We are building on Him. He is the Word. So we're going to expand that a bit on that as we keep going. And what it means to say we're building on Christ and in Him and with Him and all of that stuff, okay? But He is, alright man? He is our foundation, nothing else. I think we've established this over and over again. Foundation. Remember, I want to say this in passing, remember, the foundational basic teachings is not just for when you were a kid.
Yeah.
These are things that we carry along in our lives for the rest of the time. But we apply it always. It comes out in different avenues, but it's still there. It's the foundation. It's the thing that sort of almost like dictates how I behave in my life, even as an adult. That's why, you know, educating a child young in the ways of the Lord is very important, for when they grow up, they will not depart of it because they've been founded on the rock. So very important. Number three, take heed how you build. Take heed how we build. Okay, so I like what Amy was sharing last week. Really, that really resonated with my heart. And she basically, Amy did a comparison of the technology of, you know, and this is where I want to stress. And I'm going to read you something that I wrote down as I was just, you know, thinking about this and thinking back over these things, you know. And this is what I just want to read that. Look at how technology has been evolving in such a short amount of time. It's only been about just over a decade since smartphones came out. Is that true? Roughly.
Yeah.
Right? I actually lived, and this is speaking about me, right? Hi, okay? I actually lived in the times where floppy disks, everybody know what floppy disks are?
Yeah.
Okay? Floppy disks were still in use. It was probably about the late 1990s. I mean, I was only born in 1990, so. Or early 2000 that CDs became the main form of storing data.
Yeah.
Then we have DVDs. And we started to have hard drives, pen drives, portable hard drives. And now we have, for some of you that are together with the poor technology thing, we have something called as cloud storage now.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm actually using at the moment to access my PowerPoint slides. Cool, isn't it? I can go on any devices that has my Google account, and I can access my every Sunday messages, every PowerPoint, even my devotional notes. I can find it anywhere. Just give me a device and I'll log in. I can get it. That's technology. Okay, I'm not advertising technology. I'm just saying how much it's evolved. I also lived in a time when cassette tapes were still in use. Then we had VCDs, then DVDs.
Yeah.
I still live in a time where I personally owned a Walkman. Everybody know what a Walkman is?
Yes. Yeah.
Then I had a Discman. I upgraded after that.
Yeah.
I actually also owned a Discman.
Yeah.
Sounding like a rich boy, isn't it? All right. Then I followed by an MP3 player. 2008, I got my first MP3 player.
Yeah.
And then finally, in 2011, I got my first smartphone, Samsung S2. Now it's S9. Wow. So it tells you the generation, those numbers are actually a yearly thing, right? So it tells you that smartphones are not that old, 9 or 10 years, just a decade. Technology has changed so much in just 20 years, let alone the last 10 years. But because we have lived through this continual change, we don't feel it until you think about it and reality hits. You realize how things change so quickly. Do we realize how things have changed in the spiritual climate? And how can we be seeking to progress in the things of the spirit? We can certainly not remain the same with technology. How can it be that we, if we examine our spiritual walk, are we ever the same? If so, then something is wrong. God is progressing, and we talk about the time element. We're living in the last days. The time we are living in is different. And so we really need to, how we build, how we do things. If we can really see, especially we pastors and everyone who've been hearing this highlight on the last days of the last days, then how we build can no longer be how we did it in past years. Can no longer be in the old days where it might have worked then. But we have to see, what about now? Is it still relevant? Is it still working? Is it still taking us to progress in the Spirit? We've got to upgrade ourselves with the Word and the Spirit. We've got to take note of the time element, how we build. Now, I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. It says this, "Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and straw..." I should probably turn to it. But anyway, basically we're saying you can build with these things, but it will be tested and revealed by fire. Alright, and if obviously when tested, that which remains, okay, is good. But those things that cannot stand the fire will burn away and will be lost, counted as lost. We read the scripture earlier. And so how do we build? It can't be slipshod, right? It can't be just casual, cool, take it easy, not important, if I can make it, if it's convenient to me, I'll think about it, let me pray about it, or something like that. No, let me fast and pray to see if that's what God wants for me. And all these kinds of excuses that we can find. Okay? So if we build it well, and how we build it, you know, and if it's gold, silver, and precious stones, that's much more valuable, isn't it? It's much harder to find precious stone than wooden, hay, and stone. Is that true?
Yeah.
Those things are gem. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, then your heart is also. What are the treasures of our hearts?
Yeah.
Are we looking for gold, silver, and precious stones to build our lives with? Or are we looking for that which is easy to get? You know, I was speaking to someone very recently. This person has been looking for a church, has been going to so many churches just to find a good church, and said, "I've been visiting so many churches, I just can't find the right church." And this person said to me, "I went to this church and it was so fire and brimstone." I said, "Oh wow, tell me about it." He said, "I think it was like a Pentecostal church because the pastor was like, he had a vision." He said to me, "Do you believe that, you know, the vision stuff?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely, yeah,
okay,
sure." And he said, "And then, I hope my friend doesn't hear this because it's on the message now, it's been recorded." Anyway, but basically, this is what he said. This is what the pastor saw, like a flood coming, and it was just increasing, was just like a flood going, like a stream of flood flooding the place. And he said, the pastor said, he came to the people and said, "Church, I had a vision, and I saw the flood just going up and going up and taking and sweeping." It says, "Those who are not founded strong in the Lord will be swept away by the flood." I heard that. I said, "Wow, that's give me." I was almost like, "Give me his name, give me his church, give me his phone number. I want to hear about this pastor, because he is something, saying something that is very important." I can't see anything fine or concerned about that. But he said, "Oh, that's not my type. That's not my style." Just didn't feel comfortable. So I, looking for a church where I can, feel at home. And sometimes you've got to ask ourselves, are we looking for what's convenient to us, or are we looking what God wants for us? Because
yeah.
What God wants for us is not always going to be comfortable when it comes to us.
Right.
It hurts, some truth hurts,
yep.
But it makes us grow.
Yeah.
It helps us, it pushes us. Pressure is not bad. Pressure, pressure really shapes and molds us, and really through the fire we come out stronger.
Yeah.
So how do we build? How will we build it? If we just want a Sunday message to hear. Now remember, Ezekiel, I want to read the scripture there. It's the last line I want to bring in here, and then we can finish with the last point. This is what Ezekiel said in chapter 33, verse 31 to 32. And this is what the people that he was speaking to, this is how they responded. So they say, verse 31, "So they come to you as people, they sit before you as my people," with God speaking, "and they hear your words. They do not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but with their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as they are lovely song as indeed you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and one who plays well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them." Okay, are we looking for a message where we can hear it and feel good,
yeah,
and not having to take any action or no challenges,
yeah,
nothing to change? I'm okay and I'm always alright. I just want to feel inspired. I mean, we've got to feel inspired because God, I do believe God inspires us and gives us hope. But are we just here to amuse our ears and to hear what we like to hear? So how are we building? It's very important. What are we looking for? Are we still trying to accomplish the new with the old? Are we going to take in the new? How we build the technology? God has his own technology, and I believe that technology is the Holy Spirit. And, as Pastor Joseph has been just saying, and even both of Pastor Mason and Pastor Joseph have been saying, there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You've been hearing this term very quite much, isn't it? Right? Okay, and then we are together pressing in for more of the Holy Spirit. That is the technology of God. Last one I want to talk to you about is take heed when you build. So when do we build? In the Millennium Kingdom, when Jesus comes, when Jesus returns, is that when we start building? Okay, so when do we build? 5 years from now? Next week? Tomorrow? We build when we hear. We build when we hear. Bible tells us that now faith is. Faith is in the now. Bible tells us in Hebrews, today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. When do we start building? When God speaks, when God saves. Every time God speaks, that's when we start building right away. We don't wait for another time. We don't delay it. We build now. Let me finish with two stories here, and this is how I conclude. Last week, Amy shared a great message, okay? And in essence, the title says it all. You got to forsake the old, out of the old, in the new. And I was sitting there and I was listening to this message. I thought, such a simple message, but I know there's an impact for me anyway. I don't know about you, but for me there was. Okay? And I sat there and I said, I've got to do something about this. You know, like if I'm hearing something, then I've got to take some kind of action, some form of action, you know, do something about it. And I said to myself, I want to do something about it. I don't want to just remain like I've heard another message. I mean, I've even talked about old and new before, but, you know, on that day I felt, you know, you got to really do something about what you're hearing. So after the ministry time ended, Amy was next to me. And this was my way. Now, this was my way. Okay, this is how God ministered to me. But God will minister to you in your way. But I knew, I shook Amy's hand and I said, Amy, this is a new beginning. I wanted to do something that you know, really, that the message was not just something I heard. And I wasn't doing that to congratulate her on sharing a great message. I was just saying, this is a new beginning. I'm going to hold on to this word this morning, what God is saying to us. And I did the same with the various other people. Okay? And this, on that day, was that way for me to say, this is a new beginning. I'm not going to stay in the old. The old is past, the new has come. I'm going to walk in it. Amen?
Yeah.
And the second thing I want to share is this. Just yesterday, actually, it happened. Okay? I had a very long day yesterday, and I was really tired. You know, about afternoon, early afternoon. I went back home, and okay? I had like a very, very early start. I woke up at like 5:30. Had a long day, did a lot of outdoors activities, and I was tired by that time. Hadn't had lunch yet, went back home. I went home, and I tried to get into my own house. I could not. Okay, don't ask me why and how. It just so happened, okay? Okay, if I start giving you all my tricks, I'll be, you know, okay, but, okay, no, all right. Anyway, so I went home, I was really tired. I said, I want to have a good shower because I felt very unclean. Smelly. Even Joel said, oh man, you smell. I want to have a good shower, have some lunch, and maybe rest a little bit if I could. So I went back home and I opened my door, which I always open and always opens for me. But on that particular day, it just decided to shut on me. And so what had happened is Joel had gone to my house and locked doors that should not be locked. And cut a long story short, I call up Joel and I say, Joel, what did you do? Okay, now I do have a padlock where I keep my spare key. So I went to it and I thought, okay, fine Joel, I'll just go and get the spare key. I'm like, I was just trying to say, like, why would you even think of locking that door? I never lock. This is my passageway, okay? So anyway, I left on the phone, go and open the lock, put the code in. Not opening. I tried multiple times, again and again and again and again. And I'm like, oh man, shaking it, doing this, trying to pull a little bit here. I call Joe and I'm like, Joe, this is not funny. I can't open. And I'm not getting into my house. I'm not. And I was frustrated because I was tired, I was hungry, I was smelly, it was everything, you know. I'm like, oh man, I just want to get into my house, and it's like right at the, like it's right before me, and you just can't get in there. I mean, it just felt frustrated, and I think Joel felt the frustration through the phone. I'm like, Joel, like, what did you do? I mean, it's not even his fault, right? I'm like, what did you do? Why did you lock the door? And now I can't even, like, did you change the code? Like, what did you do? And then he was trying to tell me, okay, so how are you doing? I'm like, Joel, I'm the one who put the key there for you. You're not going to teach me how to open that lock. Anyway, so I realized I was getting very frustrated. And I said, Joel, you got to bring the key. You got to bring my spare key. Oh, another sag over there. I don't have your spare key. No, I don't have it. And he didn't have it, but they had it. And there was a spare key in the end. So I said, Joe, you're going to have to come back home. He had arrived home already. And I'm like, Joe, you're going to have to bring this home. Now, I felt like, a little bit, if I'll be honest with you, for a moment I felt my rights were a little bit violated. I was supposed, I'm like two steps away into my house. I felt like I should have all the rights. I had a long day. I really did a lot of work and all of that. And I just feel like I deserve a rest. I deserve to be at home right now. And I said, Joel, I didn't say it like this, but I felt in my heart, I was like, I don't care, you're going to have to bring my key here. Because I feel like I've been violated. You should not have locked that door in the first place. That's how I felt. Then I realized, I was like, man, that's a stinking attitude. So, So with all the frustration, I knew I was getting frustrated. He said, okay, we'll send your key to your house. I said, no, Job. I will come and get the key. So you do realize that if I go get the key, I have to drive 15 minutes there and 15 minutes back. So that takes me more time to actually get into my house, right? You do understand that, right? If the key gets brought to me, it's only 15 minutes I have to wait, right? And you know that when I get out, get down, it's not going to take half an hour. It's going to take more than half an hour once I get down and get the key and have a chat with everybody. But I said to Job, no, I will come and get the key. Then, because God was convicting me of something right there, and I'll explain to you why I chose to do that. Then, as I drove out of my driveway, I went out on Rowley Street, those of you know where I live, and I went all the way down to the end of the street, and I felt like, I was frustrated, I was just frustrated, man. And then I realized, I was like, you didn't even pray, maybe like God could open it for you or something like that. You didn't even think about God. You didn't even anything. You're just so frustrated and busy getting, agitated. Didn't think about God. So what I actually did is before I went there, I actually reversed back again and went back to my house. I went back to where I kept the key. And this is literally, I said, Lord, please forgive me for being so frustrated. Please forgive me for my stinking attitude. I said, please forgive me for the blood and the broken body of my Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Funny, but this is actually real, okay? And I said, now I'm going to pray. Okay, I'm going to pray. Because I know the code works, obviously you opened the thing, right? So I said, okay, now I'm going to pray. And I say, thank you, Lord, for your favor. Let this keypad now open in Jesus' name. So I went there and I did my numbers and I tried it a few times and I shaked it and I said, Jesus. Okay, and it didn't work. So I was like, oh man, my faith must be so weak. So I walked away, I went back to my car. Then I remember I said, Daniel's three friends say, our God is able to, but if not, our God is able. But even if not, we will not battle. I said, my God is able to unlock that keypad. But even if not, that's okay. I'm going to go along with it. So I left it. Okay, I left it. And I drove to my brother's place. And my dad's place where he was. And I got the key. Had some good lunch there. Okay. And went back home and didn't really end up staying much home. I actually had things to do and I went on doing things. So my dream rest didn't really happen, to be honest. Okay, so anyway, my point was this, was I on purpose went there because I wanted to make it clear that it's not my right. Even if it takes me another extra 1 hour and a half, I don't want to make it feel like, oh, I deserve this. He's the one. He's to blame. He locked the door after all, and he messed up. And so that means, it's only deserving that he brings the key for me now. And I wanted to make it clear, when I take this action, it's clear that it's not my right, okay? And it's going to take me longer, but that's okay. And I wanted to kill that right there and then. And I hope it did. Okay, I'm only using that as a recent experiences that, when I believe God was really testing my patience, even my own rights. I mean, we think that we have rights, right, in our own ways and own thoughts because what we did and what not and how the day went. But what I'm saying is, I believe that in that particular scene, I took action immediately when I felt like, I already wanted to get into my house, but I didn't really have to go back and pray. I knew that this is going to take me another 5 or 10 minutes to drive back and pray and all that. The time is ticking, and I want to get into the house as soon as I can, all right? What I'm saying here is, when do we act? We act now, immediately. Alright? The message impacted me last week. I just took action. I said, no, I'm going to shake some people's hand. I'm going to say, this is a new beginning. And I did that. And I believe it's the right thing. And I believe that we build immediately. When we hear, we act. It's He who builds on the rock. Amen? Yeah. So, I know it's an interesting story. It's probably more funny to you, but not really funny to me. I can look back now and laugh with you, but in the moment I can tell you this was not a very good time for me. But I pray that this morning we really look at what we build, where we build, how we build, when we build. We are building something that's going to last for eternity. And I hope that you have joined Evangelical Christian Fellowship because you see that purpose. You see the value. You see the purpose. You see the vision. You see that this is my house. Otherwise, right, we come here otherwise, and what are we doing? What are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to build? What is it? Is that true? But when we come here, I hope you come here this morning knowing God is able, God is going to not just bless us, but God is going to ultimately take us to His purpose, ultimate purpose. We're not there yet, but we're pressing in with God until that day. Everybody say that day.
That day.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. Lord, we just know that I know that you are speaking to our hearts even right now. What we build, how we build, where we build, when we build. And I pray that in our hearts we make decisions, a firm decision in our heart this morning, in the name of Jesus, to choose that which is eternal, to value and treasure the heavenly, the spiritual, to look for the gold, to look for silver and precious stone with which we will build our house, we will build our lives, to be prepared and adorned for our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, you're preparing a people of power, you're preparing a generation, and I thank you, Lord, that people are rising from this congregation to say, here I am, O God, here I am, O God. I've been behaving like a baby. I've been having stinky attitude. I feel like my rights are violated. I feel like no one cares for me. But in the name of Jesus, we come against self-pity. We come against all my rights and all my things and all my that and this and that. In the name of Jesus, break that right. Jesus' name, we pray right now. Let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And you are raising up a people that are pursuing God and running and maturing to full destiny.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.